The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 5, verses 21 to 37. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, there wasn't much gospel in that gospel lesson, at least on the surface. This is a fascinating gospel lesson, by the way, from Matthew 5. But before we talk about it, let's take a look at our Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy 30. After 40 years of wandering in the desert, Moses and the children of Israel were poised on the threshold of the promised land, the land that God promised to their ancestor Abraham almost 700 years earlier. Moses stood before the people. The air was thick with anticipation, the people impassioned to fulfill their destiny, to leave behind generations of slavery in Egypt and cross the Jordan River and take what God had given them. And old Moses, not long for this world, addressed the people. I have set before you today life and good, or death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, by loving the Lord your God and walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. Choose life. Love God. Walk in his ways. Moses' words were powerful. And his words lead to a question. Do our choices and our actions define us? Are you and I evaluated on the basis of our choices and actions? A few years ago, thanks to your kindness, Marta and I went to Hawaii. I'd never been before. Visiting Waikiki Beach one afternoon, I overheard a conversation between a bartender and a customer at a beachside bar. I'm not going to explain that any further. The customer asked the bartender if he knew who Steve Bartman was. No, the bartender didn't know. So I inserted myself in the conversation by asking, "Isn't he the guy who interfered with the play in left field at a Cubs game?" The customer said, "Yeah, that's him." So I asked, "Are you from Chicago?" "I am." "Were you at the game?" "Matter of fact, I was." On October 14th, 2003, the Chicago Cubs were playing the Florida Marlins in Chicago at Wrigley Field. It was the National League pennant series, and the Cubs were up 3-2, which means if the Cubs won the game, they were going to the World Series. That was a big deal in Chicago. You know, the Cubs just won it in 2016, but at that point, the Cubs hadn't been in the World Series for 58 years and hadn't won a World Series in 95 years. This was their chance. Win this game and they were going to the series. It was the eighth inning, and it looked like a slam dunk. The Cubs were ahead in the game, 3-0. That's when Florida Marlins outfielder Louis Castillo hit a high pop-up right along the edge of left field where the grass meets the seats. Cubs outfielder Moises Alou looked like he had a very good chance to catch the ball for the out. But as the ball was coming down right along the edge of the stands, a fan named Steve Bartman reached out and caught it. Instead of being out, Castillo eventually drew a walk, and the Marlins ended up scoring 8 that inning. So the Marlins won that game, and they won the next game. So it was the Florida Marlins who went to the World Series in 2003 instead of the Chicago Cubs. Cubs fans were outraged at poor Steve Bartman. It was so bad that Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich seriously suggested that Bartman enter a witness protection program. And Florida Governor Jeb Bush offered him asylum. And over 10 years later, two perfect strangers on Waikiki Beach from different parts of the country were talking about the Steve Bartman incident. All because that day at Wrigley Field, he chose to reach out and catch the ball. And now that poor guy is defined. Right or wrong, fair or unfair, he's defined as the guy who cost the Cubs the pennant in 2003. Are we defined by our choices and actions? Is that how we're seen and evaluated? This may not be true for Steve Bartman, but for many of us, maybe even most of us, we love the idea. We love the idea that our choices and actions define us. Because when we look at our lives, we conclude that for the most part, we've made the right choices and done the right things. You've worked hard. You've studied hard. You've saved money. You've started businesses. You've got great kids. Your marriage is solid. You contribute to the community. You're generous. You've made friends. And even in the areas where you failed in life, you didn't wallow in your setbacks and mistakes. You worked hard, and you made up for it. You've gotten yourself to the point where you finally do make the right choices and do the right things. You choose life, and that's good. You and I, a lot of us anyway, love the idea that our choices and actions define us. That's how many of us want to be defined. That's how we want to be seen. There's even the advantage that we can manipulate our image to some degree. That's why today's gospel lesson from Matthew 5, from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, is so shocking. In fact, it's so difficult to swallow. Because according to Jesus, it's not our choices and actions that define us. It's our thoughts. Our thoughts that are known to no one but us. Us and God. Starting with Matthew 5:21, Jesus, who knows our thoughts, points out that all of us are sinners. You've heard it said, "You shall not murder." But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother, whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. All of us are guilty of that. You've heard it said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say, anyone who looks at another to lust has already committed adultery in their heart. Anyone who looks... All of us are guilty of that. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better to lose your eye than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. What's the point? The point is that you don't, and in fact, you can't keep the law. You don't choose life. You don't. Neither did those listening to Moses in Deuteronomy 30. The history of ancient Israel is a litany of moral failure, a long tale of people rejecting God and experiencing the ugly consequences. Like them, you and I are in desperate need of a Savior. And Jesus elevates the law in the Sermon on the Mount for a reason. In order that you might see your desperate situation and seek God's grace, God's favor and forgiveness, given to us sinful people who don't deserve it. Do you know who really recognizes their desperate need and who recognizes the priceless value of grace? I just explained that most of us like the idea that we're defined by our choices and actions. Those who really understand the priceless value of grace are those of us here who do not like how our choices and actions have defined us. The people who really get it, the people who treasure grace, are not those of us who like how we've been defined. Instead, it's those of us who've been defined in ways that are hurtful. Those of us who've struggled with addiction and been labeled as drunks or addicts. Those of us with mental health issues who've been labeled as crazy. Those of us who've been to prison and labeled ex-con. Those of us defined as losers or sluts or lazy. Those are the people who get it. People who've paid dearly for their sin. Those are the people who understand the priceless value of God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. Those forgiven much love much. Read Luke 7, verse 47. It is true that in this world, our choices and our actions usually define us in the eyes of others, but not with God. God, in His mercy, defines you as His own beloved child, pure and spotless, washed in the blood of the Lamb, marked as belonging to Christ in your baptism. He doesn't evaluate you or any of us on the basis of your choices and actions and failures. Instead, He forgives you on the basis of Jesus' death on a cross for you. He loves you and places great value on you, and He always will, right into heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are challenged by the impossible standards of the law. And when we reflect upon our lives, it's true. We do not consistently choose life, not one of us. Lord, help us to recognize what You have done for us and be filled with gratitude toward You and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.